Speaker. I'll let him tell you about his paper, but our next speaker is Christopher Thomas. Christopher Thompson. He's a professor of history at Ball State University in Indiana and the author of Tour de France, a cultural history from the University of Cambridge Press, 2006-2008. His current book project, from which this paper is drawn, examines the contested legacies of colonialism in contemporary France. So with that, I'll get rid of my image and leave it to him.
Thank you, Joel, and thank you for organizing this this panel, and thank you to whoever, Al Gore, whoever invented the Internet, because that's what made this possible at the last second. So this is part of a book project, and I will be presenting part of a chapter that's devoted to how the empire was taught since the 1800s, with a focus on the last quarter century, and particularly the period since the turn of the millennium. I've got a PowerPoint. I'm going to probably read the quotes, but I am going to allude possibly to some stuff I won't be able to get to in the 20 minutes I'm allotted. So if they're in the questions, I can bring these slides up to provide a bit more in-depth information. In 2012, the Haut Conseil à l'Intégration issued its report, which it submitted to the Prime Minister of France. It was titled An Open Culture in an Indivisible Republic, The Choices of Cultural Integration. And it focused about 10 pages of this report on the importance of the history curriculum, the scholastic history curriculum. It noted, history is the cement of our nation, but, and it was very concerned about this, a large part of the French population, whether issue de la diversité, of non-European descent, or not, does not recognize itself in this roman national history. And it urged, it said it was imperative, quote, to unite this diverse people around the same narrative. It is this rich heritage of memories evoked by Ernest Renan that integrates the French into a history that does not belong to an ethnically homogenous population. The reference to a roman national harkens back to the early days of the Third Republic, if not earlier, but certainly to then, when the education ministry was very focused on crafting a highly selective, extremely positive, unifying scholastic history curriculum focused on the unity, the continuity of the French nation, and designed to rally school children of very diverse backgrounds, many of whom had parents who were not Republicans yet, or would never be, to the democratic ideals of the new regime. And since the Third Republic, all the regimes have focused on that imperative, including Vichy. Vichy, which was so busy marking its difference from the Third Republic, actually there's a remarkable continuity in terms of the thrust of its history curriculum. And so part of this was to excise any potentially polarizing topic. The revolution was often downplayed, as important as it was, in certain regions like the Vendée. The textbooks did not mention the Dreyfus Affair. World War II collaborationism was stifled for at least a generation. And so the Haut Conseil à l'Intégration was focused on how could the history curriculum be crafted in such a way to promote a national cohesion in an extraordinarily multi-ethnic, diverse nation. It took note of recent trends, many of them related to the teaching of empire, some of which it found positive, some of which it found negative. I can put up the slide at the end if you're interested. And what it decided, what it urged the education ministry to implement, was a return, and I'm quoting, to a scholastic history charged with a civic mission imbued with a history à la Ernest Lavisse. He was the crucial historian who crafted the history curriculum that was taught throughout the Third Republic and even after World War II. It continued to shape the teaching of history in French schools probably into the late 1950s. So on the one hand, that's what got to go back to sort of the roman national approach of Ernest Lavisse, and they suggested a publication of a new, more inclusive Le Tour de la France par deux enfants, adapted to multi-ethnic France, the contemporary French society. Its report reflected many of the tensions, the ambiguities, and in this case, the nostalgia that have characterized debates about the legacies of empire in contemporary France. There are four things that I think one has to focus on: competing visions of the French past and present, concerns about the complex relationship between memory and history, disagreements over whether and how to address the darker, long-neglected aspects of colonial history, and arguments over national identity after six decades of massive immigration from former colonies. The Roman National, especially after World War II, was contested. There were three attempts to revise the history curriculum. They were short-lived. They were ultimately reversed by politicians, by education ministry, sometimes under pressure from public opinion, to return to this very celebratory, positive, unifying focus on the history of France. And so it's not until the 1990s that you get another push and increasing criticism of this Roman National approach for a couple of reasons. There are those who feel that it's extremely ethnocentric, that it doesn't allow for a true understanding of alterity in a country that is so diverse now. Also, that it does not provide students with a good understanding of the new globalization of France's position in that new global world. The other major incentive that, or motivation that was challenging the Roman National approach was the increasing assertion of what's known as le devoir de mémoire. This was something that emerged in the late 70s and early 80s, focused on memories of World War II, particularly the Holocaust and the French Resistance. Some of this, of course, launched by the translation of Paxton's book in France in the 70s. In the 1990s, it was now much more substantially applied to the colonial past, France's colonial history and decolonization. And those collective memories of particular groups did not sit comfortably within the framework of a unifying Roman National approach to history. So briefly, I want to talk about how was the colonial empire taught until the 1990s, which I think are the major turning point. There's a remarkable consistency, and I'm going to have to gloss over some of the departures, some of the shifts that did occur. It wasn't just a monolithic approach the entire way. But as you would imagine, given the purpose of this approach to scholastic history, it was a version of colonial history that Jules Ferry would have been very happy with, both as a former education minister and a great advocate for the empire. It was resolutely positive and celebratory. It was basically a listing of the different features of the civilizing mission. So it was very much the official government line. In the interwar period, especially at the secondary level, there was a little tweaking. There was a little bit of criticism that crept in about the negative impacts. There was a greater feeling of gratitude towards the colonies because of how they'd contributed to the victory over Germany. And they were now seen as an absolute necessity. The empire was seen as a necessity for the revival of French great power status and economic prospects after the death and devastation of the war. So there was a little bit of a shift at the secondary level in particular. After World War II until the 1950s, you would have been hard-pressed to understand that decolonization was underway from reading the textbooks and looking at the curricula. It was still this celebratory Roman National approach to the empire, the civilizing mission, all the different benefits that accrued to the colonial subjects. There was still the persistence of racial stereotypes, which had been obviously very important ingredients of the coverage in textbooks under the Third Republic. There was a 1937 textbook that described Europeans and blacks as, quote, two different humanities. And so you had, and I'm not going to give you more examples, but there are plenty more that you could extract from these textbooks. Even after World War II, there was this persistence of negative representations, despite the fact that the international environment, after the discovery of the genocidal impact of Nazi racism and the death camps, the international community was taking a very hard look at the content of history curricula, because the German history curriculum under the Nazis had ultimately was seen as having justified the Holocaust. And so there were international critical scrutiny of the history curricula. There was a workshop in France in 1951. bottom line is, it was very well intended, intentioned, and it proposed to study the non-European peoples for their own sake, not solely with respect to their subordination to European nations and to France in particular, but that there wasn't really any follow-through. The celebratory Roman National approach to teaching the empire was maintained, particularly at the elementary education level. At the secondary level, there continued to be criticism, as there had been in the interwar years. The French Union, interestingly enough, offered the French scholastic history curriculum a way to kind of finesse the situation of going on in the 40s and 50s with, after all, two colonial wars, because you could criticize, especially at the secondary level, you could criticize the failures of French colonial policy, but say, these are all going to be resolved now that everybody's equal, which of course they weren't, but everybody's equal under the citizenship provided by the Fourth Republic and the French Union. So I think it provided a way to deny what was actually going on. Once there was independence of all the colonies by the early 1960s, this was viewed as a positive. It was presented as a positive. This is France generously granting independence, but what was really emphasized was the ongoing cooperation of France with its former colonies. So this policy of coopération, which was seen as an extension, a logical outgrowth of the mission civilisatrice. So the 1990s are the crucial turning point for the reasons I laid out at the beginning of my talk. And what prevails ultimately over a curriculum that had become very Eurocentric. In the 1990s, the French scholastic history curriculum focused on the new wave of EU integration that resulted in the Maastricht Treaty in 1992, was very focused on emphasizing the European roots of French national identity. Interestingly, at the very time that you're developing this awareness of multi-ethnic France, the 1998 World Cup winning soccer team, but there is this ambiguity. On the one hand, there's this return to a celebration of the European roots of French national identity. On the other hand, the devoir de mémoire is now being mobilized on behalf of collective memories of the victims of empire and of decolonization. It's that devoir de mémoire that ultimately prevails at the turn of the turn of the millennium. And here I'm just going to give you some examples of how that manifested itself. There was a major revision of the elementary education history curriculum in 2002. The 1995 curriculum for elementary school didn't even mention the empire or decolonization as point fort des programmes, not on the radar. Textbooks did actually offer some coverage, but it tended to be very general. The Europeans did this. It still tended to be positive, although some textbooks did focus on some of the negative impacts, the negative treatment of colonial subjects. But after 2002, with the curricular revision at the elementary level, the Eurocentric focus dissipates somewhat, and new topics are really addressed, the economic motivations. Which had rarely been criticized except for at the secondary level sometimes, the imposition of European culture and the diffusion of European values on local cultures, not presented as necessarily a civilizing thing. And the Algeria's Muslim indigènes are listed in the significant individuals and groups that are supposed to be covered, and that was an utter innovation. The textbooks follow up on the curriculum, as they do, because textbook publishers often want to make a profit, and conforming to the education ministry's curriculum is a good way to do so. They also take a more critical stance to colonialism. They note the violence, they cover the inequality, the exploitation of labor, lack of modernization and industrialization. They also now cover the contradiction between republican principles and the very fact of empire. Some of them cover revolts by the indigènes, but it's not universal. The key innovation is the integration of what I'm going to call in my book the new colonial history in France. These are young, often quite marginalized historians in terms of their positioning in French academe, but they're very well published. They often publish with La Découverte, and they have produced numerous collective volumes on the treatment of indigènes, colonial cultures. This is the group around Nicolas Bancel and Pascal Blanchard, Sandrine Lemaire, others. And they are centered around a group called ASHAC, the Association pour la connaissance de l'histoire de l'Afrique contemporaine, but they focus less on contemporary Africa than on how the empire has shaped white French views of non-Europeans. And so you now get textbooks integrating their research, particularly on iconography. So the 1959 Banania poster with the tirailleurs sénégalais is now being introduced in elementary school history textbooks. So I would suggest this is a major breakthrough, as long as it's explained. And that there is some criticism from experts that sort of say the problem with some of these images is that they're not sufficiently contextualized, so the risk is that you simply reinforce stereotypes. At the secondary level, the same thing is happening. The 1931 colonial exhibition is now addressed in high school. The memorial dimensions of the Algerian War are addressed for both Algeria and France in terminale. So the devoir de mémoire is not just associated with groups in France. It's also looking at how the Algerian War is remembered in Algeria. That's a major breakthrough. Nonetheless, history and geography teachers, a 2007 study, indicate are still concerned about the stereotypical representation in their textbooks. Africa is, they feel, too often portrayed as riven by poverty, disease, slavery, traditional peasant agriculture, a lack of modernity and dynamism, and those images, those very stereotypical traditional images of Africa, are not counterbalanced by any other ones. And that suggests one of the challenges facing the teachers who are implementing this new curriculum, which is you have to talk about the historical inequities associated with the empire, but you also don't want to reinforce existing stereotypes in French society about non-European peoples. Some teachers admit to avoiding the topic altogether because of the kind of emotional responses they're getting in their multi-ethnic classrooms. But others embrace the opportunity to teach this stuff because they see this as being able to advance certain civic and social imperatives. They can keep the memory of colonialism alive for students whose families suffered as a result of the empire. This is a way to explain their classrooms, but also the country's diversity. They can help students place current events in context, address issues of nationality, citizenship, etc. Interestingly, one of the buzzwords in the last 15 years has been le vivre ensemble, and they see addressing the history of the empire as a way of ultimately promoting national cohesion, le vivre ensemble. So the Levisian objective, dating back to the Third Republic, but in a very different way, by actually addressing what can be very polarizing, divisive issues. I'm going to conclude by saying just a few words about one particular aspect that could likely be the most divisive and polarizing, other than the Algerian War, which is the teaching of slavery and the slave trade. Basically, until the Loi Taubira, with one major exception, an interesting one, France's participation in the Atlantic slave trade and colonial slavery were not to be found, as you'd imagine, in a roman national approach to the nation's history. After World War II, the abolition by the Second Republic in 1848 of slavery was celebrated, but it was seen as the achievement of the Second Republic and Victor Chercher. There was no mention of slave revolts in the French colonies that would have also pressured the Second Republic. And that, even with the changes that occur after the Taubira Law of 2001, it's striking how at both the elementary and secondary levels, that remains a theme. The impact of slave revolts, of slave agency, are minimized, and it continues to be a celebration of the Second Republic and Victor Chercher in particular. And references to Toussaint Louverture that existed in textbooks in the late 1990s, in some cases, have disappeared in 2006, which is a curious irony. The one exception before 2001 suggests one of the challenges facing the French nation with regard to the legacies of empire. In 2000, as a result of complaints from Caribbean French in the Antilles, The special adapted elementary and secondary history curriculum was implemented in those in the Dum Dum. But the education ministry's justification was the following, which suggests why Christiane Taubira was so determined to get her law passed. The purpose of these adapted curricula that were simply implemented in those places was to adapt the teaching of history and geography in the overseas departments to the regional situation and a local cultural heritage, so that the students learn how to situate themselves locally and regionally, and in order that they be conscious of a history that does not always merge, ne se confond pas toujours, that is not always that of France. So there was still, in 2000, this rigid distinction between slavery and the slave trade. That's the business of the Dum Dum. It doesn't concern metropolitan white French. The Taubira Law of 2001 has a dramatic impact, particularly and immediately at the elementary level. Coverage expands. It becomes much more sophisticated. There's an increasing coverage, particularly of the role of whites in the slave trade and in the plantation economies of France's colonies. The primary source documents multiply by a factor of almost three. Many more pages are devoted to it. They look into the nature of slave labor. A really important innovation is that the primary source documents now increasingly give a voice to the slaves themselves. And so you're getting this alternative, non-Eurocentric perspective on this history. But, as I mentioned earlier, the impact of the slaves' agency is either neglected or very minimized. So escapes, revolts, aren't really yet part of the post-Taubira law curriculum. There are changes at the middle school and high school level. It's less covered there, although the coverage is expanded, but it's particularly at the elementary education level that the Taubira Law is implemented in the early 2000s. The middle school curriculum doesn't adjust until 2008, and that isn't even implemented until a couple of years later. So there's a real delay in the middle school curriculum, although textbooks the publishers are really savvy. They've already adjusted. They see what's going to happen. And already, years before the new curriculum, they are increasing their coverage in middle school textbooks. So in conclusion, I'm going to do what Joel did, which is toss some pages to the side. Couple of problems persist. One is the pretty egregious lack of teacher preparation and supporting materials for teachers. They've got this new curriculum to teach, and there are concerns that they go into the classroom and they simply don't have the knowledge or kind of sensitivity training to implement it, particularly in very multi-ethnic classrooms. There are initiatives to address that failing, and I've got them listed on a slide. There have been some very interesting sort of extracurricular initiatives inspired by the Loi Taubira. They are in certain parts of, just in certain académie school districts, if you will, in the Nantes area in particular, and I can talk a little bit more about that in the questions if that interests you. So in conclusion, to go back to Ernest Renan, whom the Haut Conseil à l'Intégration cited in its 2012 report, as you all know, in his famous 1882 lecture, Qu'est-ce qu'une nation, he said, forgetting, and I would say even historical error, are an essential factor in the creation of a nation, and progress in historical studies is thus often a danger for the nationality. Coverage of the empire for over a century was based on that premise, that you have to present a positive, celebratory, civilizing mission version of the empire, or you risk a significant division. The last quarter century, however, has seen, I think, a pretty significant shift, still imperfect, still incomplete, fueled by the duty to remember, the devoir de mémoire, and it's resulted in a substantial revision of the history curriculum, particularly at the elementary school level. The new approach, based on this idea of le vivre ensemble, is founded on the opposite premise from Renan, which is that, as Jacques Chirac said at the first commemoration in 2006 of the Atlantic slave trade and colonial slavery, he said in his speech, to face our past is one of the keys of our national cohesion. And that seems to be, and we'll see how this plays out, because we're historians, so better not predict the future, that seems to be the trend. Still incomplete, still imperfect, but this emphasis on rejecting the Lavissian paradigm and saying that, in fact, moving forward as a united, multi-ethnic country requires a more comprehensive, balanced account of the nation's past, including the darker, long-neglected chapters of its colonial history. Thank you very much.